Anybody porch, you know, they just game to be shot. Yeah. Well, you know, you see, the police have been militarized, and we have been made their targets. We are the enemies of the state. Christians,
yeah,
constitutionalists, people who want to make the world a better place, veterans, are on list of people that are considered to be watched. So if that's the case, my goodness.
My goodness is oh boy, my goodness is correct. You know, and that kind of goes along with this show today. Woo, conspiracy versus reality. You know, it's like that part of it actually became a reality, you know. But, you know, here's the question. You know, when does conspiracy become reality? You know, or is it already reality and we just not aware of it? So we rather use conspiracy as a cop out, I guess I can say.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's the question we asking today. That is the question we asking today. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. I think both words are very important for us to contemplate.
Yes,
because I want to know what is reality.
So.
What is it?
What is
you
reality?
Know?
That's another one. Yeah, good one. That's a good one. All right, y'all. So we done laid the groundwork. So y'all need to go and get your computers hot and humming and do, you know, whatever research you need to do. Because we're going to come back to it. But anyway, before we, you know, we're going to go and give it the quote of the day. And let me give my co-host her great drum roll.
Thank you, sir. I would like to. This is going to be a surprise for you because the quote of the day has been elongated.
Okay.
All right. Humanity is at a fork in the road, and we can no longer stand there staring at the map, pondering which direction to take. It is hardly a choice, after all. One road leads to a global fascist communist dictatorship that would control every aspect of our lives, including our thoughts. The other will open the door to freedom and potential on a scale never experienced in the world as we have known it. Hard one, isn't it? A choice between prison and the paradise. Wow! Decisions, decisions, decisions. That is from Human Race, Get Off Your Knees, The Lion Sleeps No More by David Icke.
Wow. Yes, wow.
You think that'll get it started off?
Yeah, I think so.
We can take the bug out of that,
right? Huh?
I said I think we can take a plug out of that one. We can chew on that one for a while.
Yes. Yes, we can. Boy, can we. Wow. I kind of like the part about the prison and that, you know. Oh, boy.
Well, you know, you asked the question about conspiracy versus reality, and you can juxtapose that with prison versus paradise. Which one do we want?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. That's a good point. Good point. Oh. Well, which one do we want? We say we want paradise. That's what we say. But,
yeah.
But, you know, sometimes I think we prefer the prison. Did I just say that out loud? Oh, my bad.
Yes, you did.
Okay.
And that's all right.
I mean,
now, here's,
you know, you really
if you allow me, Mr. Talk.
Go for it.
This is something to add on to what we just shared. The only tyrant I accept in this world is the still small voice within. That's by Mahatma Gandhi.
Mahatma Gandhi, huh?
Mahatma Gandhi.
Wow. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Because many say I'm breaking up at times. I'm like,
now,
okay,
you are breaking up a little bit. Just a little bit. Yes,
oh,
you
okay.
are. It's cracking a little bit, but I can hear you. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm on my Bluetooth, so no telling what's going on. I can change that in a minute if I have to. So
all right.
Oh, Michelle in the chat room says, sometimes what we think is the paradise is actually the prison. And you know what, Michelle? That's
profound.
So right. Huh?
I said that's profound. And greetings to everyone out there. I'm not able to see you today, but maybe tomorrow
I can see you
in the chat room.
Yeah, well, we got Joe, and then we got Benny, Bible Truth by Benny, and Guest 1760 and Michelle. So we got them in there. And then, of course, we got Wesley on the on switchboard. So, yes, we're doing good. We're doing good.
All right.
And Internet has joined in also. Well,
greetings. That's your chat room coordinator on board.
My chat room coordinator on board. That's right. That's right. Can't argue with that. All right. Well, you know what we're about to do now, y'all? It's that time. I know y'all waiting on the music. I think I got some good music today. It's not. And here's the music today. It's a little bit old and a little bit new, and it's not get up and dance, but it's enough to make you bob your head a little bit. You know what I mean?
Was that in my honor
enough to make you
to talk?
I was thinking about you when I was doing it.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to see how many of you recognize the songs that's on it. Yeah, because I kind of went into my musical genre, plethora, whatever you want to call it, my musical likings. So, you know what? We're going to quit talking about it and go on and play it.
All right.
So without further ado, y'all, this is your Tuesday mix.
I can hear the couple fighting right next door. Her angry words sound clear, beaten walls. Around midnight I heard him shout, unfaithful one. And I knew right then the axe was gonna fall. It's because of me. It's because of me. I heard him shout, who is he? She mumbled low. He said, baby, don't you lie. No more. And I'm listening through these thin walls, silent shame. As he called out my name, I was right next door. It's because of me. It's because of me. Because of me. It's because of me. Oh, she was right next door, and I'm such a strong persuader. Just another notch on my guitar. She's gonna lose a man that really loves her. In the silence I can hear their breaking heart. Thank you.
All right, y'all. That was, that is, that's what it sounded like. Your Tuesday mix. Oh, boy. I hope y'all enjoyed that.
That was beautiful, Mr. Talk.
Why, thank you.
That was nice.
I mean, yeah. I was thinking I wanted to be kind of nice, you know, and mellow. Something to make you just bob your head a little bit. No extra stuff.
Now, who was the first by? Which was the first song? Who was that by?
That was Robert Cray. Robert Cray. He's been around.
Right.
Yeah, he's been around a long time. He played with other bands. He has his own band, the Robert Cray Band. And, you know, he plays a lot of blues and stuff like that and a lot of jazz.
All right.
So, yeah. So,
well, of course, I recognize the second and the third one.
Yeah, of course.
Ooh. My goodness.
You know, and I had to throw some Tom Jones in there. I just happen to love that song, man.
Yes, nice, very nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember hearing that song in a movie called, what is it? What is that movie? Man. Now, before I started talking, I knew what it was.
It'll come back.
Yeah. The Full Monty, that's it, the Full Monty. He was
the
saying
Full
he
Monty?
Songs. Monty, yes.
Monty, oh, yes, I've heard of that.
Yeah.
Monty, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that took me way back.
good. Well, if you like that, you're going to like your jazz mix tomorrow, too. But anyway.
All right.
All right, y'all. Y'all ready for the show? I'm ready for the show. I see Mr. Lois joined us on the line also. So this should be a good one. Today we're talking about conspiracy versus reality. Now, if you want to be a part of the show, just give us a call, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericlesstalk@gmail.com, or join us in the chat room, www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. And you can join us and have some fun with us because we love to hear what you have to say. So don't be shy. Don't be shy. We welcome everyone. All right. Now, and I guess the question I had put before we got into the music stuff is, when does conspiracy become reality? Or is conspiracy already a reality? And my co-host says she wants to know what reality is. So those are the things we're going to be working with today. So let's see what we got going on here. We're going to welcome Brother Wesley to the show.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Brother Wesley.
How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. I can't complain. Yeah, but I like the what you said about the fork in the road.
Yes.
To me, the meaning of life is very simple. I narrow it down to three words. But before I tell you all them three words, I figured out for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. That's the law of quantum physics.
Wow.
And so if I apply that to your scenario about life and decisions and the fork in the road, them three words, everything, every decision, every conflict, every doggone decision you got to come to is going to boil down to these three words, yes or no. If y'all just figure that out, anything you have to go through, whether you're going to pay your light bill, water bill, whether you're going to eat this, eat that, is either yes or no. Do y'all agree on that?
That is profound. Simple, and usually profound things are very simplistic and require us to think deeply. That is profound. Those three words.
Very.
Things boil down to yes.
Yes or no. And then whatever decision you make, either yes or no, then you will know whatever the consequence happened, whether it was a yes or you did the right yes or the no at that particular situation. And as far as about reality, well, everybody got their own different means of reality, but to me, reality is what I'm going through and what I see and my total existence in my environment and my circumstances. That's what I consider reality. and conspiracy, that's kind of hard to doggone kind of rule with, because I don't deal in conspiracy, I deal in facts. And so y'all can reply,
okay.
We have some dialogue.
So let me ask you this. Since you don't deal in conspiracy, basically, so what you're saying, since you deal in fact, so you basically what you're saying, there's no such thing as conspiracy. It's all reality.
Well, a conspiracy is really a fact unproven. If you can't prove that it happened in that reality, then it was a conspiracy. But if it did happen, that's a fact, and that's reality. That's truth. Truth always, when you get the truth, then you know that's a fact. The truth always a fact.
Mm-hmm. Truth is always a fact. So, well, you kind of confused me. So a conspiracy is something that's just talked about but not proven, right? So in order for it to become a reality, you have to be able to prove it.
That's the way I look at it.
Hmm.
Okay. Interesting.
Yes.
Very interesting. Hmm. So, in fact, conspiracy can be reality.
Well, if that's what's the total, when you add everything up and that's what you see and that's what you are going through, then that's your reality. That's the reality for you. Your reality can be different than somebody else's reality. Reality is it's all everybody on experience.
Like
mm-hmm.
the movie in the head I talk about. Everybody's playing a movie in their head. We're saying the same thing, aren't we, Brother Wesley?
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
Mm-hmm.
Wesley, you seem kind of subdued today. You all right?
I'm good, bro. I'm just right now, I'm just taking in and soaking in everything that's going on in the world. My heart go out to the people in the Philippines.
Oh,
but that storm was manufactured, whether y'all believe that or not. That could be conspiracy, too. But I never heard of no storm going no 235 miles an hour. I'm from Florida. Y'all know about Florida hurricane. Y'all never been to a hurricane where a gust of wind 235 miles an hour and the water is 20 feet deep?
I saw a picture of that, Brother Wesley. I happened to be running to the store the other day. You know what? They have the little newsstand. I just happened to glance at the cover, and they showed a picture of the devastation. I mean, it's like rubble, just rubble.
Yes, just rubble.
And so with everything going on in the world, like you said, Mr. Gomer, about the stuff going on where they're controlling people's mind, it's kind of depressing to me. That's why I'm kind of subdued, man. It's just like, I'm in shock, man, because I got a pretty good idea of what's going on more than most people, because I'm more aware, and my third eye, my conscience is aware, and I'm just trying to warn people and let them know what's happening. It seems like it's not getting the people, and I'm seeing my people get killed, and like that woman in Detroit, that's the same thing happening to Mary and Carrie, where they're making people or drive their cars and be out. What woman be out 2:30 in the morning by herself riding through a neighborhood, man? I'm trying to find out what was she doing out at 2:30 in the morning out there by herself. I mean, I couldn't see my woman doing that. Not no 2:30 in the morning.
Well, she was 19 years old, so she may have been coming from a club or something.
Well, see, that's a conspiracy. You're going with maybe. That's a conspiracy, right? What you just said, maybe.
But the reality is, she got in an accident, went for help, and got shot.
That's the reality. She dead and gone. But till we figure out what happened to her, it's partial conspiracy, but it's more fact that she gone. You see what I'm saying?
It's definitely the reality, she gone.
The reality, she gone, but I like to find out what. I mean, we got to, that's what I mean, yes and no. She made a decision of yes or no to be out 2:30 in the morning by herself. That's her decision, and you see what ended up being her reality, right?
Her consequences.
That's right. Precisely.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes
we make
the wrong decisions on yes and no, and you see what happened, man. That's all I'm saying. We know all this evil exists, so we putting ourselves in the wrong circumstances with the yes and no, and bam, look what happened, man. It's pathetic, man. That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to warn people and tell them what's going on.
And Brother Wesley, so that means that when we open our minds and contemplate this idea of a conspiracy going on, a lot of people reject that idea. If the young lady had have been aware, she probably wouldn't have chosen to be out that time of morning because she would have been aware of what's really going on in her environment, which means she would have been focused in reality of what's going on instead of thinking that, you know, well, who knows what she was thinking, but she made, like you said, a dangerous choice.
So did, especially, mm-hmm. I mean, that's what's wrong with black people, man. Well, everybody, really, man. We so get caught up on what we have to do on low-frequency beasts and stuff, whether we're going to eat or yes or no, or doing the wrong thing, so we're not aware of our environment and what's going on in the world today.
That's very important because it helps us with our decisions.
And so, yeah, just like when I go to the store to get groceries in the store, I made my decision not to go there on rush hour traffic when all everybody in the store running around trying to buy stuff. When you can't get a parking spot, where people fighting over the parking spot, you got to wait in line a long time. No, I wait the off hours where hardly no traffic, nobody in the store. I go in and get what I get, bam, boom, boom, I'll be home within 10 minutes.
Very interesting point. Very interesting point. But I'm thinking about the young lady, and, I mean, let's look at it this way. You know, she's riding. You know, she probably does this week in, week out. Of course, we're just speculating right now because we don't know where she was coming from. All right? And she just goes to get help. That's all. She's trying to find help, you know, trying to get help. And the homeowner thought somebody was breaking in and shot her. So, I mean, let's look at it. That's, can you really say that was any type of conspiracy? It was more circumstance, as we said before, than conspiracy, correct?
I think so.
Well, I say she made the wrong choice, man. The whole decision she made was the wrong choice, man. Okay, even though she made the wrong choice to be out that time of night, okay, now, whatever accident she had, That's a bad choice, too, whatever. That's a circumstance. But then when she did have that accident, she did not have critical thinking where to try her cell phone. If the battery get dead, I'm understanding that your phone can always get you, hit 911. And number two, you can't just be walking up on folks' yard these days, man, not really standing your ground and stuff. I don't care who you are. I heard so many cases. It was a case in, I think, Milwaukee, where a young black man or something happened, he ended up on somebody's porch, and the man shot and killed him. You can't walk up on nobody's property, man. You can't just get walk. You, I mean, she should have just sat in her car and waited until maybe somebody came by or she called 911. Just sit in your vehicle, man, and wait.
But you know, Brother Wesley, right. I think we should reconsider when we say she made the wrong choice. I'm just thinking about it a little bit. See what you think about this. Because we don't really know why she made the choice to be out there. There could be a lot of reasons. Maybe she had to go someplace to help a family member, or, you know, maybe she put herself at risk to do something positive. We really don't know why she was out there that time a morning.
Well, she made the wrong choice to get in, go knocking on somebody's door, man, on 2:30 in the morning, man. If I see somebody knock on my door, I don't know. Nine times out of ten, any time of day or night, I don't even answer my door, man. I got cameras. If I see an idiot police or anybody knock on my door, they just sit there and knock and get the hell on.
And what does that say about the state of the environment that we live in, steeped in fear of each other?
Now, the state of the environment, if somebody knock on my door, I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to be fucked with the bullshit, because life is really 90% bullshit, and the other 10%, you got to try to figure out what the hell going on.
Yeah, I hear you. But doesn't that say something about the state of the society we live in?
Well, I just say the state of my reality. I don't want nobody coming up in my yard knocking on my door, especially if I don't know you.
It's about me.
All right, hold on. Let me bring this lady in.
Hello.
Hello, Miss Lady. How are you today?
Greetings, Miss Lady.
Madame, you know, I really like what you just stated, because what strikes me, I've been listening about 12 minutes,
mm-hmm.
is it seems like a reflexive response when it comes to black women to find fault with their thinking, their actions, whatever. It seems like the woman encounters mistreatment, abuse, or violence perpetrated against her. It's like a reflex.
Mm-hmm.
So it reminds me of, you know, when a woman is raped, how they used to say, well, what was she wearing? What was she doing? It was her fault. And we've come away from a lot of that immediate reflex to blame the victim of rape, and as well as domestic violence. But I think people have been, especially black men, have been so conditioned to not really have a lot of love for black women, respect, appreciation. They're not protectors of black women overall. They're doing it's her fault, she was wrong. It's really sad in a way. There was another show yesterday addressing this topic. It was quite interesting. And Melissa Harris-Perry actually was addressing this in a symposium, which I haven't seen, I think on Sunday, about the readiness to attack black women, to not support black women. And also it comes from black women as well. So you have black women jumping on the bandwagon as well. And I think there's a movement. Some want to start a movement, and it includes some very enlightened black men who want to move away from that paradigm,
mm-hmm.
and shift. The other races of women are not subjected to that.
Well, Miss Lady, can I make a statement on what you're saying? Okay, I'm a big black man. I try to protect my black women. Okay, but with this synthetic telepathy going on, and you try to explain to particularly black women what's going on. But a lot of them don't want to hear it. I give you the perfect example about this smart meter, okay? The smart electric meter, what everybody got on their house, that's no good, that put people's house on fire, okay? I told my sister, I'm an electrician, I told my sister down there in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, about the smart meter. And she ignored me, okay? You know what the consequences was, Miss Lady? Her house caught fire, okay, Miss Lady? I tried to explain to especially my black women, what's going on, especially with this synthetic telepathy, what's going on, where y'all mother with, like Mr. Gomez said, intuition is being jammed, okay? And so nobody is thinking clearly right now. And so when I offer my expertise or my suggestion with how to help particularly black women get through this maze or what their reality is, false reality, what's going on, 90% don't want to listen. So then, if she don't want to listen, what a brother supposed to do? It is what it is, man.
She's ready for you to take action instead of just preaching and teaching and talking. Maybe she wants to step up and actually take action to remedy the situation.
What you consider action? I told her about the smart meter. What can I do? I told my sister about the smart meter, okay? It's up to her. That's her house. It's up to her house to take it off her house, correct? I cannot go to her house and snatch it off her house, ma'am.
Exactly. All right. I want to welcome Lo and Joe to the show.
I'm just saying that black women have been shouldering the black race.
Hello.
And it would have fallen down, and everybody knows that every race of people know we would have fallen a long time ago. So black women are, at this point, don't want to hear about all the faults they have. I mean, men need to look in the mirror. Really take a deep look before they start telling black women what they did wrong.
All I can say, if I can tell a black woman fire hot and she stick her hand in it, that's her problem. Not mine. You know what I mean?
She doesn't need you to tell her that, okay?
Well, you just told me what I'm going to take action. Go snatch her hand out the fire when she put it in there? Come on, you're sticking up. You're confusing the brother, man. You're confusing brothers.
I don't know what you expected her to do.
Read too many books.
Miss Lady, you're breaking up just a little bit.
And last week she was confusing brothers about the bags and the groceries. Okay, this week she wants brothers to take action.
No, you're very argumentative. You don't want to listen.
No, ma'am, I'm just explaining. I'm not going to argue with nobody. I'm just explaining the facts, baby. I don't argue with nobody. That's a waste of time to argue. I'm just explaining my interpretation, baby.
You know what? It'll be nice to move from the paradigm of that and some very highly enlightened, highly educated black men and black men. There was an attorney that hosted the show yesterday to address this very issue. It was quite interesting. And there's going to be, I think, a movement on some black people to move away from that so that black women can be respected, appreciated, loved, and protected like other groups of women are.
Miss Lady, would you please state the name of the program you were referring to?
Okay, I'm going to have to find it. It was called the Decoding Society.
Decoding Society?
Well, hurry back, all right?
Society.
I'm sorry, gentlemen. I want to write this name down. Did you say Decoding Society?
Decoding, D-E-C-O-D-I-N-G.
Thank you.
Society.
Okay. Thank you so much, lady. Thank you. You're breaking up just a little bit, but I got it. Thank you for your input.
You know what? The host is D'Angelo Starnes, D-E-A-N-G-E-L-O. Last name is S-T-A-R-N-E-S.
Thank you so much.
The segment yesterday was called The Devaluation of African-American Women. That was the name of the show.
Hey, Mr. Gomer, you're a woman, right, Mr. Gomer? You're a woman, right?
My name is Ngoni, and
yes, sir,
I am a woman and a mother and a sister.
Okay. I just want to ask you a question. Do I sound argumentative to you?
Sometimes, and I also do.
Talk about right now, this particular second.
No.
Sorry?
No.
No.
All right,
okay,
hold on for a minute. Hold on. Everybody hold on for a minute. I want to welcome Lo and Joe to the show. Hello, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
Hey, Eric.
Hello, all.
Hey, Chaos. You came in on time, huh, Chaos?
Hello, all. Absolutely.
Shalom.
Absolutely. Shalom, brother. Absolutely.
Shalom.
Don't worry, Esau. You'll get yours.
Is this Brother Lo?
Absolutely. How you doing?
Yeah.
I'm doing fine. Thank you. And yourself?
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Man, I'm listening, and I'll say it again. No, you did not sound argumentative, Wesley. You all were talking about, speculating, and I first wanted to come in and ask, well, why are we speculating on why that lady was out or what happened? Why are we even going into that? Because we don't have any of the facts right now. The only thing we know is the lady was out there and had an accident and got killed. Other than that, we don't know anything previous to that. So we should just wait until all the facts are in and then go from there. That's what I think, you know.
My point is I think she made the wrong decision, man, by even getting out of her vehicle when it was a wreck. Okay, now I can't speculate why she was out there or wonder why she out there at 2:30 in the morning. But I'll take Miss Lady advice. If my woman was out there at 2:30 in the morning, I'm supposed to snatch her and make her not go out the door at 2:30 in the morning. Okay, just say, baby, wait till the morning, please. We go to the store in the morning.
Like that.
I'm supposed to snatch my woman and take action. And say, baby, I'm not going to let you walk out my house at 2:30 in the morning, okay? That's my statement.
I did not tell you to put your hands on anybody, so would you just stop lying?
Well, you just told me to take action, right?
You're lying. I did not specifically tell you to snap your hands on anybody.
That's
my action,
okay?
You need to back up that lie.
If you don't listen, what I'm supposed to do, ma'am? That's all I'm trying to say. You say take action. What do you consider action? If you're my woman, let me ask you a question, Miss Lady. If you was my woman and you getting ready to leave my house at 2:30 in the morning, what would you expect me to do?
Oh, you can't tell her.
You ain't telling me. I ain't going nowhere, motherfucker. I know where I'm at. That's
you
what
know
going
to happen.
All right.
All right.
Brother West.
Enough.
I want to say something to Brother Wesley. See, I think what you missed the point that I perceived that Miss Lady was trying to make. Like, for instance, you keep saying that she made the wrong choice. But like Brother Lowe expressed, and as I also expressed before he did, since we don't know why she was out there, how can we judge she made the wrong choice?
Okay, but hey, Yangonia, that's not what the argument was about. Okay, or the potential argument. The potential argument was about when Wes was saying he told his sister that the house was going to be in danger because of the smart meters.
Absolutely.
Then, Ms. Lady said, you shouldn't have to let her make her own choice, and yada, yada, yada. It seemed to me that Ms. Lady was trying to take a real situation, trying to bring it back to this, to the gender wars. It was a simple fact.
I respect what your perception on that, but I heard something different. And, you know, I'm not just saying that because I'm a woman like she is. I heard her present a broader view, and then it devolved into an argument about that.
Well,
see, that's
to
where
have
she
a
came in
view.
At.
That's my point.
Wait a minute. She expressed something that I also think is accurate. That
it did not have to have a broader view. Wesley plainly said to his sister, this smart meter is dangerous. Had nothing to do with gender wars. Had nothing to do with male versus female.
He didn't say anything about gender wars, Brother Joe. See,
but
that's
the thing.
Because Miss Lady took a very simple statement and made it into the broader version, which you're talking about.
Right. Right.
Agree, and I respectfully disagree that that was the intent,
it devolved
into an argument about the smart meter.
It shouldn't have evolved into an argument versus male versus female, should it?
Right.
No, it shouldn't. Well, let's move on from that. See,
that's what I'm trying to say.
That actually happened.
Our question today is conspiracy versus reality.
Well, that actually happened when Lady came in.
Well, I think
there's a lot of typing
that goes on between the men and women, and I think stereotypes, you know, then people get labeled, and every time they open up their mouth and bring in new ideas, then they're perceived from that stereotype. I think that's what's going on. That's my observation anyway, especially as it relates to Miss Lady.
What do you think Miss Lady was doing then?
I can't tell you what Miss Lady was doing, but it would be nice if she could say what she was doing.
Let me ask you a question. If I'm sitting here listening to everything, I was muted. Wesley was saying, hey, you know, I think this and I think that. And the lady come in, and only thing she goes, well, we had a show yesterday, and the men need to stop doing this, and men need to start taking action. And Wesley say, what do you want me to do? I told her, well, you shouldn't have had all that lip service is what I received from her. You shouldn't have received that. You shouldn't have been given all that lip service. You should have took action. And Wesley said, hey, I can't just go over there and take it off of her house. That's exactly what happened.
But you left out all she said prior to that. See, that's what I see, that you've left out everything she said prior to that exchange with her and Brother Wesley. And, I can see where Brother Wesley's coming from, you know, I really can, but I can also see where she's coming from, and what she presented prior to that exchange was something broader than what was just spoken to. That's just my perception. And naturally, we come different perceptions because you're men and we're women, so we see things differently.
No, dear. I'm going to tell you why that's not true, because I have four sisters and a daughter, and I'm going to tell you something like this.
Wait a minute. All right, because we didn't got way off the subject. We didn't broke into men against the women. That's not what the show is about today.
I'm about to go into the conspiracy part right now. For someone to say that they had a forum saying that black men and other races have looked or are looking at black women as though they are less than anything, I would say that there's a conspiracy for that because I said it before. If you look at your media outlets, everywhere you see the majority of black women, there are one or two things on television now. They're either a video vixen or they're someone that's very, very, very powerful, like a TV judge or something like that. There are no Cliff Huxtables and Claire Huxtables on television for us anymore. Everything is, this black girl got to either be a hoe or she's got to be a woman that's so powerful and so boisterous that the average man wouldn't know how to deal with her. And that's what I
So where's the conspiracy?
Television today.
Where's the conspiracy?
The conspiracy is, well, what happened to the other lady, the woman that just wants to have a night? You don't make TV and I don't make TV. There are people that put certain things on television. They may interview 30 people, but they only get the stupidest black guy in the community to put out his point of view on what just happened. So
I'll tell you another conspiracy by what I see, by what Brother Lowe's saying here. It seems like the conspiracy here, they send me a subliminal message every show with a black woman. She's the lead character, and the lead man is a white guy, and they end up in the sack and lovey-dovey. They show Scandal, and there's a lot of other shows I've been seeing on TV. Scandal and what the one with the dude with the head chopped off. What's that show? Y'all know what I'm talking about. It was a lot of shows where the black women is leading character, and they're trying to subliminalize that white men supposed to have their black women. That's what I see. And how can I protect my woman when she all of them want to see Scandal and want to be like that Scandal lady and run around sucking lips with some white guy?
I do see that a lot. I didn't even know who Olivia Pope was until who the fuck is Olivia Pope? Oh, that's the chick on Scandal. Man, you mean to tell me you have all these women that I know personally? Oh yeah, Olivia Pope. She on the television show she's nothing but a hoe. Well, Joe, that's fine with me. Your definition is different than mine.
You agree with that? Because he's a white man leading character.
The thing is, isn't character, first off, isn't Olivia Pope a very powerful figure in that show?
No.
She's not a powerful figure. She doesn't run her own business.
No.
She's not the person everybody goes to in Washington to try to fix scandals.
That's TV, man.
Well, yeah, well, that's what we're talking about, TV.
My scenario is that she's like the mammy on the plantation. When anything go wrong, she's the one to clean up the mess on the plantation.
Okay. Mr. Charles,
Greetings, Michael. How you doing, Nugoni?
I'm doing good. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. Mr. Talk, I've been waiting patiently. I told you. God. May you please mute them so I can get at least 120 seconds, Mr. Talk.
I'm asking again. Where did it come from?
All right. Go ahead, Michael.
Right. Well, let me stay focused and stay on the topic of the day. It's really interesting, Mr. Tuck. I'm glad to hear Wesley and others are speaking, saying the word facts. Me, they call me all facts. And I'm hearing Wesley, and I heard him earlier, and he was speaking facts. Now, when you label something as a conspiracy, it's a factual statement. Because in order for me to label something as a conspiracy, I must have already proven, right, that it was a secret and two or more people were at work. Now, there can be good conspiracy and bad conspiracies. I used that definition and they got upset with me. But a secret birthday party is a conspiracy, but it's not a bad thing, right? But a conspiracy theory is not fact. Remember, when you label something as a conspiracy, it's already proven. You've proven that two people were in secret and they did something, right, together. So it's proven. But a conspiracy theory is not proven because that's why they label it as a theory. It's not fact. It may have some facts backing them up, but the final result, you can't prove or not. You can't label it as a conspiracy. Now, you're talking about reality. That's a tricky word. See, there's a reality of nature and there's a reality of thought. Reality of nature is the rain. The trees grow. Man don't have nothing to do with that. We can burn all the trees. The trees are still going to come and they're still going to grow. That's the reality of nature, the sun. But there's a reality of thought. Now, you say, what's the reality of thought? Well, that's a fact. It's not theory. It's a fact. This chair that I'm sitting in, man has thought of it. He made it, and it's a fact. Right? It has a time, place. I'm sitting in it right now. Wonderful, comfortable chair. It's a fact. I mean, it's a reality that I'm doing that now. So there's things that we can have, we can measure and call reality. But, right, but there's been my speculation of what a conspiracy and conspiracy theory, things that have proven. Now, I want to say this, and I'll be quiet. The CIA, the KGB, all countries do practice in conspiracy. Why? Because they do things in secret, right? They can't tell us everything. They have secret missions. They spy on each other. So, yes, there are conspiracies going on in this world, a conspiracy reality. A lot of people do things in secret. And a spy, CIA, FBI, they are supposed to be a conspiracy agent. They have to do an investigation. Can be a conspiracy. Police can have a conspiracy to do a secret investigation on someone.
But see,
you know,
many
people do conspiracies.
Well, my problem with them government agents, because most time instead of them just reporting what happened, now they call this stuff to make stuff happen so they can have necessary results they want, man. Now that's just turning conspiracy into a false fact, into a false reality, man.
Oh, now we didn't hit another one. False reality. All right, I like that. Well, hold on for a minute. Let me bring Mr. Drybones in. Mr. Drybones,
come on with it.
Greetings, Drybones.
Hey, that's my brother. Oh, yeah, come on with
what's it. What's up? I'm going to be brief, but I'm going to make it same plain. The biggest conspiracy, the woman in the secret world, she is the widow's son. And because of what they have done to the widow's son, they have taken her counterpart, which is the man part, and they have devalued us in front of her. So she no longer has respect for the man at all because of what
there
she has seen throughout 300 to 400 years, because we cannot protect her as we should. So what has become of this now is that they have conspired, and this ain't a theory, this is for real, they have conspired to destroy the union between the male and the female, which would be called the womb, and the man, which would be considered the woman or the widow's son, which she would be considered the widow's son in the mystical world. And they have considered that to be done. Now, what's going on today, and I'll make it brief, the black woman has fallen into the devaluation process, so she's on reality TV shows calling herself a bitch now.
Mm-hmm.
We no longer, the man does not have to call her a bitch. She does it herself because of the devaluation process that they have put us both in. And so right now we are really battling each other based on what has conspired through the history of slavery. And now we at a point where now we're trying to connect, and the connection can only happen once we realize that the black man did not protect his counterpart, which, and she was the carrier. Without the black woman, let's be honest, we'd have probably been gone a long time ago, because she had to sleep with every Tom, Dick, and Harry to make sure that her children ate. So we had a system now that the black man must put our ego away and realize we got to step our game up. Not the fact that we've been, you know, it's all our fault, but the fact that it's been a process done to us, and it's a hard process to get out of, but ego must be put down in order for us to come up,
well,
because this is the reason why we have problems today.
Well, women didn't be devalued since the ancients of time. That just doesn't come from African women or black women. All women from Europe, all throughout Asia.
I'm not dealing with African. I'm not dealing with Asia.
Right, but you have to stay with
Africa. I'm dealing with Africa. I already know the Moors had white women. This is not how I'm dealing with.
No, right, but let's look at the totality of it. Right, but if you look at the totality of it, men has been taking over women, but in actuality, there is no problem. Men and women protect each other. That's a fact.
What do you mean men? What do you mean men have taken over women? What do you mean?
Hold on. The reason why, I agree with Drybones. Drybones is saying that the men
Michael. Don't worry about that. Don't jump on his team.
Men have taken over women because
men have taken over women.
Yes, they have.
Woman means from man.
Because
so
they put them in
a
subject. They put them, when you have the ideology that women submit themselves, the man is the leader. He has the last word. He puts the women under him. What do you mean? Women have devalued. Now, what Drybones is saying, in ancient time, the women just had much as power than the men. No man was higher than the woman.
Where that came from?
Women fought against. What do you mean? That comes from ancient time, brother. That don't come from the biblical. That comes from facts.
That comes from ancient times, brother.
Okay,
the women fought brothers over kingdoms, brother. Women were protectors and warriors back then.
And tell y'all the time and what's happening now.
Gentlemen, hold on, Wesley. Thank you. All right. Now, once again, we've gone. Why are we stuck on women? We should be talking about conspiracy versus reality. I mean, I understand, you know, y'all say there's a conspiracy television has against women. But why are we still stuck on that? Isn't there a bigger conspiracy versus reality out there?
Well, Mr. Talk, let me interject something here. You see, what Dry Bones said is a conspiracy to divide women and men against each other. And between that, they have destroyed the family. And if you destroy the family, you destroy the neighborhood, the community. If you destroy that, you destroy the nation.
That's precisely what this mind control thing was going on. That's exactly what's designed, what's going on, man, with the synthetic telepathy. The women and the men, they our intuition and our senses have been jammed, man. I.e. to tie into a fake, what y'all were talking about with this football thing. They making this into like a women's society where everybody getting pumped to five, man.
Well
man,
I want to ask Mr. Talk if he agrees that is a conspiracy. Talk, if he agrees it's a conspiracy, I wanted to say,
I'm going to be quiet, but just Neely Fuller, I don't know if you ever heard of Dr. Neely Fuller.
Yeah, I heard Neely Fuller said, the code.
Neely Fuller said in the 70s that it would be a conspiracy to discriminate the black male.
Right.
Has that not been,
right.
It's been done?
Absolutely. I don't think it's been done, all right?
Oh, you got then you go to
I don't think. But I didn't
you
even hear what you said.
Ain't been done.
I don't think that the black man has been feminized. I think the white man has been feminized.
I think all men have been feminized,
okay.
Man. It's women's society, man. They're making everything is pussified now, man. Look at the football field, how they changed the rules on the game, man. Look at how they're making it soft, man. Everything, man, is like
the black man is becoming pussified, but he hasn't gotten there yet. In the white household, what does a white husband do? Yes, dear. Yes, dear.
When he gets tired of it, he go kill everybody.
That's not correct. The strongest person in the white world is the queen. She's called Queen Elizabeth. That's the strongest person in the European world. That's a fact.
Can I say something, Mr. Talk?
Would you stop all that huffing, man?
I can't hear you because my voice is going in and out. Can you hear me, or I'm going in and out?
Yeah, we hear you, bro. We
hear you, brother.
Yeah,
man.
No, I said Merkel. Women have been ruling all through Europe, so this is not a new phenomenon, like you said. But all the thing I'm saying is, over here in the Western world, our world that we over here in the United States, is, in my opinion, the biggest conspiracy was that between the black male and the black woman, and they have succeeded in doing so because a lot of our arguments is over some of the most foolishest things I have ever heard of. And that's what we're having today, and it's going to continue until we realize
what
the conspiracy is.
Well, if the black
was.
Man's going to go down that road and become as pussified as some other people, you're lost.
By design.
Okay.
By design.
Well, see, you have to watch your language. When you ask, is something a conspiracy, you're in the conspiracy theory realm. Like I said before, when you label something as a conspiracy, it was a conspiracy with the MKA mind control, right? But a senator tried to stop it, right? They had hearings on the MK mind control. Once they found out what the CIA was doing, then they said, yes, it was a conspiracy. But if you're asking, is something a conspiracy you're not speaking fact. You just guess.
Oh, that mind control, man, they got patents on that. Each one of these stuff they're doing, they got a patent for each one, man. With the force skull technology, whoever designed that got a patent on it, brother. So that's a fact, okay? With this chemical spraying they're doing to people, with the electromagnetic wave, each one of them doggone technologies got a patent number behind it, man. Okay, that's a fact. That's reality, brother.
But it's document record that the MK mind control has stopped by the CIA. They had public hearings on this. The senators tried to stop it. The Americans
found this out and we stopped it. And they say factual information
that
they never had.
You're now thinking that mind control is no longer in existence?
Exactly. That type of form, listen, the mind control,
you
that you're talking about the document information, right, if you go back to the CIA, what they did to the Congo's leader, when they tried to assassinate the Congo's leader, that's what the RMK mind control, the whole movie about the Bourne Assassin, all that was made over that movie. And, yes, that's factual information, but they stopped it.
No, they
the United States
did. They did the same thing in Norigo.
It's under, No.
I let my brother
how do I know this information? In 1960, United States said, yes, they tried to have mind control because they tried to kill the Congo's first democratic elected Congo leader. It's a fact. United States says yes. After that, because the person who did it, he said he didn't want to do it. That's a fact. Look at that. And I'm letting you know, in March of 1961, United States did like they did Gaddafi. They helped the Allies to overthrow that democratic leader. I forgot his name.
So
y'all know what I'm talking
here?
About. But I'm letting you know, it's documented that they started that. That's a fact. It's in the hearings on it. Brother Michael, now if they're doing something else, that's different. But while I'm laying, in 1960, what you're talking about, that mind control, the senator stopped it. They had a hearing. The CIA said it was a conspiracy, right, because they found out that they were doing it in a secret, and they stopped it.
Hey, Mike, look up Dr. Robert Duncan, man. Look up Robert Duncan. In 1980, he perfected these towers that Ms. Nagoma know about. The wind towers, the groundwork Mason network, the Jews and the mind control. Look up Dr. Robert Duncan. Look it up. Look it up right now. You got a computer, Mr. Pack?
Okay.
Look up Dr. Robert Duncan.
Okay. So it's not. So is he speaking fact? Because it's not a conspiracy. I mean, it's not a conspiracy theory.
That's
is
the
it a fact?
That's the guy that perfected the technique, man. Dr. Robert Duncan. Look it up, brother. That's
okay.
What's still going on?
Okay. So you have factual information. So if you have factual information that it's still going on, go to your senator, give him the facts, and we'll have a hearing on it. Because right now it's not a conspiracy no more. Because you know the facts.
I'm going to go to my brother and sister.
I mean,
what's going on?
All
right. Before I do that, I'm going to go to my brother and sister and let them know what's going on to try to stop them from getting the hell out of running around town at 2:30 in the morning. Okay. That's what I'm going to do.
Protect
my woman.
Right. If you have false information, expose them.
Protect my woman. Tell her don't be running at 2:30 in the morning because all this stuff is going on. I.e. technology.
Let me ask a question. My question was simple. And I'm asking Michael, if you say that, you know, conspiracy is something that people may be committing, or then again, hey, people may not be doing this at all. It just might be a perception. My question is this. Let's say you take a woman that is an Oriental woman.
You've got some background noise there.
That's
whoever got that background noise, mute yourself, please.
Cut it out.
Now. Oh?
Might be Miss Lady.
Yeah, I think you're right.
No, it's not Miss Lady.
My question is this. If you have an Oriental woman that want to be on television and she has to go and get surgery on her eyes to fit a certain criteria, and you have a black woman that want to be in television and acting, and she has to go and get her hair straightened, would you consider those to be conspiracies? Or would you consider those to be parts of a conspiracy?
No, because it's known. A conspiracy is a secret. It's not a secret. These black women who like to buy their hair, they want to look a certain way. That's all it is. They want to look straight. It's not a conspiracy. It's an image. Now, what Wes said, he said, what did he say? He said something about a symbolic
don't worry
method.
About it if you don't remember.
Well, no. Symbolic, a symbol. Basically, that symbol doesn't represent you, but we all have symbols. And I'm just saying
No. Don't
they symbolize that as beauty.
You,
If I'm asking you, if you were a woman from Japan, if you were a Japanese woman, and in order that you don't look as quote-unquote ethnic, so that you could fit in more and to, with the television station and all this and all that, be more acceptable, you wouldn't think that there was conspiracy for you to look a certain way?
No, it's not a secret. It's up to me if I want to look a certain way or not.
No. What you say
it's not a secret. Right. When you go to Hollywood, a person know a type of image. See, when you're talking about stars, they have a certain image. That's why I tell my kids, never put no too much emphasis in no star, no actor, because that's their image. That's the problem. But they want to fit a certain image. That's not me. So it's not a conspiracy. It's wide open.
Well, Brother Michael,
a conspiracy
is a system of assimilation. Would you consider that a conspiracy? The system of assimilating other people into another culture other than their own, would you consider that a conspiracy?
No, it's not, because they have a right to choose. Like for instance, if the Democratic Party want me to be a part of their group, and they tell me why I'd be a part of their group, it's not a conspiracy.
Michael, we talking about a woman that came to Hollywood wearing Afro puffs, and somebody in the back office said, hey, your hair is fine, but, you know, I don't think your career will go far with it like that. And so
because they're looking for a certain image.
The next time you see her, she's got straight hair. So you're going to tell me that she's not assimilating to somebody else's community?
Right, but it's not a conspiracy. They're letting her know that in order to take this part, we want you to look a certain image. They got the money, so if you have a choice, do I want to do this image or not? Bottom line.
Well, Michael, I'll give you another example. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to step on whoever was talking.
No, go ahead. Give another example.
It's not a secret.
Well, hold on for a minute. Let me bring Mr. Beasley in.
Uh-oh, where'd he go? He ran away.
Okay,
well, can I just quickly give an example, Madam C. Walker? Okay, in my mother's time, black women could not get a job. The only job they had available was to work in other people's homes cleaning, and if they didn't have straightened hair, they couldn't get any work at all. So that's a force of assimilation, Michael.
Right, but we were talking about a conspiracy. It's not a conspiracy because we know that. A conspiracy is a secret between two or more people. There's nobody that's really stopping us from, if you want to wear your Afro, see, like they try to say in my community, that the police officers couldn't wear dreads. To me, I don't like that. Now, I know for a fact it's because of their color. It's no secret that they're being racist. It's no secret that they're saying that they don't want to brand as nobody ethnic group. It's demeaning because if a cop wear dreads, he may look like a hoodlum, a street hoodlum. They can't differentiate. Mike can clearly see that.
Exactly.
Or he might be undercover. I understand it. But when they go undercover, what do? They put on little fake dreadlocks and stuff like that. So, I mean, I understand that. It's really no secret to me.
Listen, let
me
show you. They
want to
see
the same image.
Hold on for a minute. Let's let Beasley get in. He's been waiting patiently. Mr. Beasley, you there?
Yeah, how's everybody today?
Greetings, Mr. Beasley.
I missed everybody yesterday. Nah, I'm just listening from the outside for a change. And this is an entertaining show. You guys aren't talking over each other, and you're making some interesting arguments. Go ahead, continue. There's a lot of lips in this soup. Yeah, I don't need my loud mouth in here. Oh, yeah, I just wanted to say hi.
Well,
okay.
We want you to contribute, too. You always bring good points in, Mr. Beasley.
You guys got it. You guys got it under control.
All right.
Go ahead.
All right.
Brother Drybones, come on in, Brother Drybones.
I know what you were saying about it, but it would be a conspiracy to have people emulate another person, because covertly you want to portray the world, you want to portray to the image that this is how we look. So if somebody had to conspire together to say, we're going to divert everybody into this look.
Exactly.
In order for it to be obtained. In order for the look to be obtained, you have to do diversion things to make people say, I got to do that thing, because you just don't come off the top of your head and say, hey, I want you to have straight hair. Somebody had
exactly.
to tell you to make everybody
all right,
have it.
All right, I got you right. And you know something? You'd have to have your head in the sand if you didn't realize, images like Aunt Jemima and Uncle
right.
Ben and Step
Thank
and Fetch It. And yeah,
when,
if that didn't exist, and it's continued to this day.
And Glamour
it's just subtle. So Hollywood works in conjunction with there's influence by the government, there's direct contact, and by other moneyed interests that want to put a certain image across black folk and every
opinion,
other folk, and also. If you notice on television, they prepare you for paradigm shifts. They make you think things is normal. I
right.
swear everybody on television is gay or
right.
looks gay. Every man I see on television, I swear is gay or looks gay or could be gay to me. That's a common
that's
thing.
They got everybody confused. They got men want to be women, women want to be men.
Man, that's
black
what they're
putting.
They,
fat want to be skinny, skinny want to be fat, tall want to be short want to be tall.
Let me ask a quick question. Hold on for a minute. I want to bring Vicky in because she had a question for Lo on what Lo said a few minutes ago. So let me bring Vicky in. All right, Vicky, welcome to the show.
Greetings.
Hi, everyone.
How you doing?
I'm good, thank you very much.
Hello.
I wanted to address what you were saying about the straightened hair from the Afro puffs and stuff. And it's actually interesting because at the moment I'm currently looking for work. And now my hair, I've got natural hair, but I actually wear braids and everything. Now, I'm going for interviews and things, and I'm more than aware. Where I currently work, I could have my natural afro out, no problem, because I've been there for quite some time. But going forward to new places, I've had to actually consider my hair, consider how it looks. I know that if I went in there with a relaxer, my hair straight, or a weave, I'll have a different reaction than if I go in with my afro. Okay? So I know I can't do that in corporate environments. So I've got braids in, and I have to now tame the braids to make them look as English as I possibly can to not transfer the image that I could potentially be. I know it might sound militant, like the militant, a militant black woman, although that's not me at all. But in terms of going to agencies, going to employers, it is real. It does happen. And for Michael to say it doesn't, it does. Women that
I never said it did. It didn't. Said it didn't.
Let the woman finish, man. Let her finish. Go ahead.
She said I didn't say it happened. I gave an example about
the police
department.
Man.
I gave an example about my police department, man.
You were misunderstood.
So let the woman finish, man. Go ahead, Vicky.
Okay. So basically, it is a reality. I mean, there are some people in certain levels of jobs that you can go to McDonald's and you can wear your hair the way you want. Now, I'm looking for jobs as middle-level management. I'm going to have to, if I want to work, I'm going to have to do what I need to do in that initial period once I work it out and understand the lay of the land. The afro can come out. It will scare them the first 2 days or so, but I'm going to bring it in. But we have to understand that this is what's happening. It's not conspiracy. It's only conspiracy if you choose to sit there with no money in your pocket, no roof over your head, sponging off the government just because you want to wear what you want to wear and your hair the way you want to hair. It's there. It's there.
Vicky, let me ask you a question. You say that it's not conspiracy. And my question to you is there a hidden agenda?
Yes.
To shape another people into the image of the dominant culture, whether that be a corporate culture or, you know, however you want to describe it. So would you say that some people decided that they had a right to impose on other people to not be who they are? I think that's a conspiracy. I'm just asking what you think about that.
I've been in corporate England for probably about 20 years, and there is that conspiracy because they didn't know us. They didn't know us in those ranks. So they didn't know what to do. So what happens is, even as I've temped for many years on and off, and when I go into a temp assignment, I would go in dressed pretty much like a black woman, but who looks like I could be a blonde white woman. Okay? But when I walk into that assignment, I might only be there for 2 days. I get the job done. There's no issue. Right? When I've been there for some time, I'm allowed to let my personality out. I don't have a problem with it because I'm just going to get the job done to pay my bills to do what I need to do for me. There is a conspiracy with it. However, as you get higher up, I find in England, there is more. That's when more I notice the women are really conforming. They've got the long weave. But yet I watch young girls today now conforming to, and you know, my afro is not too short, but it's relatively long. But I can go out with my afro and I feel perfectly happy and I don't care what anyone says about me. But when I look at these young girls, they all look the same. They're all wearing the same hair down to the back, which they don't own. It's not theirs. It costs them an absolute fortune. And they are doing it not because they are conforming to what they think men want. And they want that Beyonce look of person. But I'm talking about the corporate culture that they want people to look in a certain way because it makes them all feel comfortable. And we all know that happens in offices. If you're in a creative office, I've worked in architect's office for most of my life, so I'm allowed to be, I can go in jeans, I can wear a baseball hat, I can do what I want. When you come out of that, I have to conform for a little while, and then I can do what I need to do.
But see, if I want all black women to have afros and all of these guys to pull up their pants, that's their culture. If they want to wear saggy pants, and if I say they should do that, that's their culture. You have to put that. Some people
Wait
have
a minute.
That freedom.
What's who's
right now,
that?
No one is shopping a black
with
woman.
Your pants off of your ass ain't nobody culture.
But listen, if I want everyone to look my certain way, how I want all the black women in America to have afros, to wear that natural hair, I can't do that as a Michael. I can't do that. Where's their freedom? I'm letting you know, if we know about this information, is it conspiracy? It's no secret.
But what she's trying to say is, what Victor trying to say is, the big boss man got the money, so if she want to work for Mr. Boss Man, she got to confirm to he who got the gold make the moves. That's what she's trying to say.
And you know what? If I wear my saggy pants every day, if I go to interview, I'm going to have to pull up my pants. When I come home from work, I can wear my sag. Vicky said once she gets in, she's going to go ahead and wear her afros. I think I heard you say that. You said once you get in, your natural will come out because once you're in the company, they can't fuck with you. If they fire you over that, you can sue them. But so certain things you have to do, so it's no conspiracy. It's no conspiracy that I have to pull my fucking pants up if I go on the interview.
You know what, Michael? I
want to dress hood style when you
Michael,
get off
people,
of
let me
hood.
Do you remember when we were talking about money and all that?
Let the women talk, Mike. Let the women talk, man. Let Mr. Goldman talk, man. Let him talk. That's our show.
Thank you.
I got him. Go ahead.
Do you remember when we were talking about money and all hell broke loose and Mr. Beasley explained what he saw was that I was stuck on a literal definition of money and everybody else was talking about money from a different perspective. Now, what I see happening right now with Michael is sticking to the literal definition of a conspiracy that has to be two or more people doing something in secret. And that's what I see. I don't know what anybody else agrees with.
No, can I say one thing? Because that's not... Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead, man.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What the person was talking about, it's a group called, it's in London, it's called the Travel Stock Institute. What they do is set trends. Now, the reason why she feels she has to do that because it keeps, the conspiracy is to keep the unemployment level for us down because many of us are not going to be able to get into putting all the nice expensive weaves in our hair and buying the nice expensive clothes to look this presentable way. And so that's how you keep the unemployment levels down. From us entering, but we have to have a criteria that they set. Then secondly, with the baggy pants, first of all, they show you in magazines of Everybody wearing baggy pants, down with bag leather coats, looking all smooth in all these GQ magazines, but when you dress like that for a job, you don't get it because it does not go along with the GQ magazine. So that keeps people confused, and television wants our boys to wear, that's a conspiracy because they want our boys to wear these baggy pants because they show every television show that deals with black youth their pants is down.
Yep.
So it automatically puts in the psyche of the young individual that this is acceptable because they see it on TV all the time. In reality, it keeps them from out of the corporate world unless they enter the rap game. That's the only way they can get this thing going with the rap. So what they have done is that is a conspiracy. The Travel Doc Institute has automatically set trends. They said, well, we'll let black folks in, but they got to look like this. And so they start the trend going. And once the trend starts going, if you don't follow it, you don't get the job. So basically, we are in a super conspiracy that is being done so smooth, it's called gradualism, where the mind can't even perceive this type of information that we're being deceived because it's done such on a smooth scale through television, magazines, and everything that corporate America throws at us. And
that's a good point. But, Michael, did you see the point I was making about you're using the literal definition of conspiracy? Are you there, Michael?
Wait a minute.
Don't let him make it in yet. Keep him muted. Michael,
you in. Michael?
He ran.
Yes, man. No, I'm not running. Listen, Ms. Negoni, I'm sorry, I had myself on mute. Ms. Negoni, I have to use the literal sense of the word conspiracy because it's fact. We talk about the meaning of the words of definition and what something is. When you say, really, you have to say something was a conspiracy. When you say something was a conspiracy, you mean you have proven a conspiracy and everyone knows. If you say something is a conspiracy, right? Something is, you mean it's saying that you know a secret that someone is actually currently doing. So I'm saying go and stop them if you know. What I'm saying is all black women don't wear their hair like that. There's some people that want to be natural, but I'm just saying I'm not going to sit there and demean somebody. And when you talk about certain looks, there's certain things in our culture, black Americans, we have adopted and made some of the things our culture.
Thank you, Brother Michael. Let me respond, please. Thank you, Brother Michael, but I'm not saying you're wrong to use the literal definition. I wasn't saying you're wrong to use it. I just saw the dynamic in the discussion and realized that's the same thing that happened to me when I was stuck on the literal definition and other people were trying to bring in a different perspective. That's all I was saying. I'm not saying you're wrong.
Right, but money has a literal definition, though.
I want to know what
this wrong.
Okay, I'm done.
Is. I want to know what the conspiracy is to have people conform to corporate America. What's the conspiracy?
Joe, the conspiracy.
It's not a secret. I had 5 years of banking. I had to dress up every
word
in the sheet. Right. When I came home from my banking job, I did not dress up in a suit. No one controlled how Michael dressed. There's a lot of corporate America. They come home and they wear hip-hop culture. They're part of the hip-hop.
You're an expert in the banking industry.
Hold on. Listen, guys. I stated facts that I have 5 years of banking, and why you're trying to diminish that? I'm speaking about my life, Joe. Just because
right, so
you,
what,
have,
what
you
do
told everybody that you have business experience, Joe.
I know.
I didn't demean you.
Good. What did you do in the banking industry?
I work for a bank. Listen. I work for a bank. See, Joe, why are you?
What
look,
did you do in the bank?
I put it like this, Joe. I have 5 years of banking industry. That's all you need to know, Joe.
That's all
surprised?
I need to know. That's all that's good.
Right. And when I said it before, I heard all of y'all try to demean it. Like, I got 5 years of bank robbery. Oh, this. I got 20 years of that. It's just like that. Michael has 5 years of banking.
Can answer your question.
What are you talking about?
Joe, let me try to answer your question.
Yes.
I think, from my perspective, that the conspiracy is to create a monoculture on the earth.
Okay. So, yeah, in other words, what you're saying also is that if black businessmen got together and formed a corporation, and the corporation was doing well, $25 million, $50 million a year, and they had their own particular types of dress codes, and somebody came along with saggy pants and a bandana around the head, and that particular person he should be hired, even though he's not qualified for the job.
Wait, but before you say anything, sister, let me ask a question. Why would you take it to a fucking extreme like that, Joe?
Right, that's what you guys are talking about.
Man, get out of here.
You're the
ain't nobody
that's not
go,
what you
no
guys
one,
are talking about?
No.
What do you mean, no?
No.
You're talking about
no, ain't nobody
pants.
Talking like that.
You're talking
I,
about conformity.
That's that stupid
and the only
Michael talking
you
about
was a black woman with the afro and baggy pants. So, you're talking about conspiracy and conformity.
What I'm talking about is a lady going in with a nice suit or pants.
And I'm not talking about
that.
I'm talking about the saggy pants applicant. So
black corporation.
I bring it in. So listen to it.
What about the monoculture? I mean, let's face it. The indigenous people of the earth have been decimated, and now there's a monoculture that's been spread around the world, not only with human beings, but even with plants.
Plants, you're talking about GMO. The monoculture may or may not exist. What was talked about
was
the guy with saggy pants forming
monoculture
conspiracy. And the conspiracy was being placed upon the foundation of a corporation. So I'm bringing in the black corporation.
No.
With black people with the corporation, let's say they are independent of this conspiracy, do you think they should allow anybody, including the applicant with the saggy pants and the bandana, to work for their company and have no dress code?
I
no,
think
you're
approaching the discussion in a very narrow vein. And let me add this. Mind people are, they see almost everything from the perspective of the five senses and so become entrapped by the illusions of the physical world. This makes them so easy to manipulate and control. Conscious people retain their connection to their higher levels of awareness and see everything from another point of observation. They are in this world, but not of it. Mind people often call conscious people crazy, dangerous because of their different perspective of reality. So you are insisting that we are to look at this question from a very narrow perspective, Joe, in my opinion, with no disrespect intended.
No problem. The thing is,
well,
everybody was
look,
talking about it and using that example and then saying they're conforming
well,
to the conspiracy. Where's the conspiracy?
And then
I
we end up arguing for 20 minutes on one.
Hold on, everybody. Hold on, because Michelle put something in the chat room that makes a lot of sense. She says, Vicky's story demonstrates that you can recognize a conspiracy, but you do not have to make it your reality.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's true.
I mean, that is a great point.
Yes,
a
it
point.
Is.
Question.
And if she wanted to make it her real reality, she could create her own job and her own company, and then she could wear what she wants to on her own job.
Brother Wesley,
right.
we try
nice.
To... The, whether it's a conspiracy or not, and I think sometimes, and I know myself, I'm so busy trying to look at the forest, sometimes I can't see the trees. So I think some of that, you know, some of that is going on in our discussion today.
And like you said, Mr. Gomer, the problem is they don't want us to be ourselves, okay? Like you said, once we be ourselves, then we're going to have to start creating our own jobs, our own economy, where we can be ourselves, our own natural self with the Most High, and create our own reality and quit worrying about their damn reality.
That's right. And where do they make these decisions? In corporate boardrooms. Don't they make these decisions in secret?
Yeah, but can I say something now?
That's right. That's conspiracy.
You're
right.
What black people shouldn't do, they should do is start their own business and do that.
That's right. That's what I said.
That's what I was talking about in an indirect way.
Hold on. Let me just finish. You can go right on it. There was a community in the United States called Black Wall Street.
Uh-oh.
The most lucrative black community in the whole country superseded some white communities. They conspired to destroy this community by dropping the first bomb from the sky on this group based off of a pretense of a rape. So you can have all the such and such you want. I can go down the line about black people who've been taken out who were successful. That's kind of not really a true statement of what we're talking about. They can anything
man.
They want to. They
that's reality. There's a brother named Kim Bridges that started the Mata Network that had a black business thing with black people. I know if y'all heard of Kim Bridges.
Yeah, so
why bother starting your own business?
One at a time,
America's not going to let you.
One at a time.
Now we're dreaming. See, we're doing a man, we got millionaires right now, and we can't even get a real company with all the millionaires and billionaires. We don't even make one point. I don't even think we make 1%. I think we 0.1% of the millionaires that's here. So, you know, we got to come to the reality. They conspired quite well to keep us in the delusion. So we don't even know what reality is.
Right. All I wanted to say was simply this. Now, the lady that was on a few minutes ago, hey, my heart goes out to your story. But
No doubt.
The thing is, if you have the best resume and you go to a business and you're looking for a middle-level management position, you go in a nice pantsuit or a nice suit, a woman's suit. You go in that and you have your hair in a nice natural. And people, they're looking at your resume. Oh, yes, you have this. Okay, yeah, that's great. This is great. That's great. This is great. And if they're so fickle to the point where your hair says, well, we don't want hair around or her type around, then those people are foolish. That was a conspiracy before you ever got there. They were already
Joe, a lot of people I grew up, they always told me, Mike, I couldn't wear a suit every day to work because that's not their image. You hear a lot of people say, I couldn't dress up a suit to work. Some people like to work outdoors. Some people like to work indoors. Some people like blue-collar work. Some people like the white-collar work. You see what I'm saying? That's their image. That's all I'm saying.
That's the reality.
If you
want to
get a job, there's a long reality right there.
Someone wants you to look a certain image when you go. I'm just saying, when you come out of work and you're not in that environment, you do your thing. That's your life. But in certain types of fields, you have to look a certain type of image. If I start a company and I want all my employees to wear a uniform, me as a visionary, a leader, I want my employees to look a certain image. There's nothing wrong with that on the business side.
I agree with you.
Go ahead,
Miss
Lady.
Whoever was just talking is right. I don't know if it was Michael. If it's a business, a corporation, whatever, even a small business, they set the standard on the dress code. They set the standard. And you know what? It's not, and think about it. They're going to want other clients. They're wanting to have other businesses, I mean, contracts with other businesses. They could potentially lose a lot of money by having an image that's not desirable. So they're going to set the standard. And if you don't want to go along with that standard, then don't work for them.
What's the desirable image?
I agree with you, Miss Lady. Miss Lady, the main thing is the bottom line.
Hanging down your butt. I mean, really? Do you really think?
Wait. No. Let's wait. Everybody on here is over 30 years old. Let's get past the pants, folks.
No, we don't have to get past the pants. That's what you guys were talking about before. And that's the example that was talked about. We don't have
to. The main issue of business is what?
You
the
keep
main
talking about it like it's a conspiracy
money,
to make black people conform to white society. I haven't finished yet. Do you not realize that white people, when they go for a job, have to comply as well?
Gentlemen. One at a time.
Joe's speaking now.
All right. When white people go for a job, they have to conform as well. A lot of white people like to wear overalls and jeans and a bandana, and a lot of white women like to have their hair all fluffed out and looking all kinds of messy and like they've been driving through the wind. But they have to conform to corporate.
But the main issue in business is to make money, man. The bottom line is to make money. Like Ms. Lady said, the issue is to make money. That's what mistakes over there.
Why would you
take
your son
to pull his pants up when he go to school? Why would you take your son to pull his pants up before he go to interview?
You know what? I know a white guy. You're right. He all the while getting his graduate degree, postgraduate degree, he wore ponytail, shorts, and thongs and T-shirts. Right the day when we graduated, he cut his hair off, shaved his beard, put on a suit. He looked like Mr. Corporate America himself, and he got a dynamite job.
Looking for somebody else instead of himself.
Okay,
made him for himself to work for somebody else.
Hold on.
Hold on for a minute. Hold on. Now, that example that Miss Lady just gave, all right, so doesn't that say that that is the reality of it all? You know, regardless of what conspiracy you think is going on, the reality is you got to dress the part if you want the job.
That's
right.
If you're not the boss, you're working with somebody, you're going to have to jump when they jump and wear what they say in the bottom line of business and make money. And Miss Lady Wright,
and if you don't like
that's the way it is.
You can
that's
get fired like I've been. If you don't like to conform, you can get fired. That's the choice people can make.
No, we don't like to conform.
Right.
We start our own shit.
That's right.
Start your people, own. Man, we too conforming
to
too much,
with a tank top on? Can I go to church with a tank top on? Why do everybody go to church with a suit? Why do everybody wear, in the mosque, they wear certain robes? Why do people cover themselves in certain religious organizations? They do it
all
the
time. Not everybody church in a suit.
What you want to fit in. You have to look at which group, or I'm not a part of a group. But I'm
really,
not
everyone,
the group,
and everyone goes to
what
church.
You're supposed to wear their symbols, and like I want to say, whether you were right, this subliminal mental sublim, it means symbol. Me, I spit on all those symbols. They're not my image. That's the problem. I agree with y'all. But, man, it's really not a conspiracy because some people really know what the fuck they're doing. That's all I'm going to say.
So let me ask the question. Are we all in agreement, then, in this particular you know, part of the discussion about corporate, you know, conforming to corporate rules and so forth. Are we all saying then that there's absolutely no conspiracy that corporations have made decisions about things and have expanded now to the point that they're more powerful than all the nations of the earth? So there's no conspiracy going on here, right?
Well, there's an agenda, bigger agenda. I don't know if you want to call it conspiracy or not, but there's a big agenda. And we all know what that agenda is.
That's a good point. Maybe we can't call it conspiracy. I'm not saying it
absolutely
is. I'm just asking.
What y'all think a conspiracy is? Or when
the
they put
definition
liquor
of a conspiracy does not, it doesn't.
Yeah, well, we tried that, but they went around for 2 hours.
Well, let me pose this question. Do y'all think it's a conspiracy when they put liquor stores and fried chicken shits in every black community?
And Planned Parenthood.
And all that?
It's
not a conspiracy because we know what it is. A conspiracy is done in secret. It's an agreement
when you say we know what it is, who are the we talking about? You say
exactly. Here she go with her smart ass.
Person.
No, that's not true.
If you've got your chicken stores,
you've got your liquor stores, and your black communities, and they're owned by black people, where's the conspiracy?
No, are they most of them stores owned by
black people? Where do you live at? They're owned by black people. Are you stupid, Joe?
Yeah,
community, you don't have liquor stores and chicken stores owned by black people.
No, not where I live, no. Not where I live.
Oh no! The Korans and the Farmers owned the liquor stores in the hood. The gas stations, everywhere.
If they can do it in the New York community, why can't you do it in your community?
Because
there
there's a conspiracy to keep black people in a position.
Hold on. First of all, they come in our community. We do not go in the Oriental community and sell
and
them
you're not
stuff.
Going
they
to
come
either.
In our community and sell us stuff. We can't go in that community, so it's not balanced.
Right.
Their community
well,
is real
all,
small, but the kettles are big.
But like Joe said, man, it's up to us to control what's in our community, man. We can put up our own store to quit buying that other raggedy crap, man.
If that were truly the case, then it would be happening. But since people are still victims of the Willie Lynch syndrome, I'm not going in there. I'm not giving them any money. All this stuff is too expensive.
That's how I remember a couple of weeks that he had Mr. Economics on and saying that we could buy a gas station in the hood and start our own. I remember Mr. Economics saying that.
A lot of them do have cheap labor because a lot of them already have foreigners. Remember, their supplies are those people over in the Asian countries. That's those cheap labor that's all making those cheap products. So when those foreigners, they got dealings already, connect already over in Asia. They come over here and they sell it to us.
The Asian people are already in manufacturing. We don't manufacture. The Asian community already in manufacturing, gentlemen. They got whole countries that manufacture.
Hold on.
Don't give me.
But the reason why that happened. Let me give you a reason.
We don't have no manufacturing.
We can't hear.
Let me give you a reason.
Come on,
let me give you a reason why that happened so we can get some perspective here. The reason why this has happened, why you so-called have the agents, is because the conspiracy came when they gave, Nixon gave China friendly nation status.
There you go.
And see, we're not watching the conspiracy because we're too busy trying to figure out some other stuff. These things were done through progression. We're going to give them the friendly nation status. Then Clinton comes to say, hey, we're going to do NAFTA, the North American Trade Agreement. And so while
we're talking about what's going on in the Korean community, each Korean, they take 10 Korean businessmen, they give one Korean person $1,000 a piece. That's $10,000 to start their own business.
Right.
Like my brother Dry Bone said, people that's got black people that's got money need to start funding our own people so we can create our own doggone economy.
Well, it's called cash. Like the people that's that are arguing and attacking each other on this show, those kind of black people, is that what you're talking about?
Here she go with her negative stuff.
She made a good point.
We brothers, man. The way we discuss this stuff, who knows? We might start putting our money together to start something. You never know.
No,
I might put my $2 with Mike $2 with Mr. Talk $2, and we put our own stuff together and do something.
And you still got to go get a license from the people that are in control of everything to do anything.
We get a license when we run the business. It'd be our business. You got to have a license in every business you got.
Well, okay.
We can do it, man. We can do it ourselves.
Well, something, I heard a stupid joke a long time ago about, and it was a real stupid joke. You had a black man and a white man both selling ice off an ice truck, and the black people said, well, I'm not going to buy that black guy's ice. It's not as cold as that white man's ice.
I heard
you
that before,
people,
too.
Yeah, you have black people that's foolish like that that don't want to see another black person or anybody around them do better than they do.
Even verbalize an opinion, huh? They don't even want that.
Well, but when they stop lying on you black people, you're going to have to come together to do something.
I guess
the way the economy is, they ain't got no job for their own people. They ain't got no job for Joe. Why you think
Let
Joe owned our Mr. Talk Show?
They have a
job
for Joe. He don't
want
to take it. They got a job for him. He just don't want to conform to it.
They ain't got no more jobs for us. The plantation closed for you black people.
Well,
create your
own job.
Create
your own job.
Create your own job.
Even the plantation closed up, huh?
Wow,
that's
bad. Like this. Iron Mexicans, man. So it's up to us to have our own stuff.
Create your own job.
Nobody stopped me from starting my business. Create your own job. There you go.
Nobody ain't stopping me, bro.
I live in a country with a big pot of money, and I want some of it.
The plantation no more.
I want to find my niche and do my thing.
Let me ask a question. Person, please, I'll just put the question out and everybody give their answer. So who believes that there is such a thing as a conspiracy going on in the world, and who rejects that idea?
I believe there is.
Oh, I believe
even,
it too, yeah.
Even a guy as experienced and tenured as Ed Bradley, God rest his soul, Ed Bradley, he couldn't just jump out with that gray beard and that earring in the very beginning. He had to gradually ease his way into that, and people had to accept that for him to be able to be on television with that.
Correct.
Yeah, so I believe that, yeah, of course there is. There's a certain way that you have to look, and if you don't look that way, then you won't prosper.
Listen, 2 weeks at the beginning of the show, the yes or no. Okay, life is 2%. Life is 2% what happened to you,
the
conspiracy, and 90% what the fuck y'all going to do about it. You see what I'm saying?
Trying to fix it today, Brother Wesley. We're trying to discuss. Mr. Talk wants us to talk about conspiracy versus reality.
Yeah.
So we get solutions on another show.
That is conspiracy reality. 10% if we think it's conspiracy, 90% reality, what we going to do about it?
Well, we're going to discuss that on another show. We're going to talk about solutions to the problem.
Conspiracy and reality, right there, man.
You label something a conspiracy, you're saying it's a fact and it's a reality. But this, for instance, like Israel, United States said Israel struck Syria, a military compound, last week. Israel was upset with the United States because the United States leaked it, right? And I mean, this is a fact. They struck Syria, right? Now,
right.
I can say it was a conspiracy, right, that Israel struck them because they did it in secret and it came out. It's not a theory. It's a fact. It was a conspiracy to shoot Syria. All governments have conspiracies. So to answer your question, Nagoni, yes, conspiracy is a fact. A lot of governments do things in secret.
Yeah, but now, when it comes about to the
government. I just say one thing. The biggest conspiracy that black people have dealt with that we have to come to grips with is the civil rights movement. That was the biggest conspiracy that was ever done to us.
If good point.
We went from having businesses, we went from having our own communities, and we gave all that up to be a part of white people's system so we can
that's
be
right.
We had to conform to their
that's the biggest conspiracy.
Who told us to do that?
One other time, please.
If we wanted to segregate ourselves, the white people would have said, okay, who told us to segregate? That was the movement.
He wants to say the wrong thing.
Let me ask this question then. And I think my co-host, Sister Ngani, asked it earlier. So assimilation, is that saying you're part of the conspiracy? Is that part of the conspiracy to assimilate, to get us as black folk to join in and become part of what they call the norm? Is that just reality?
Let me go first. And the reason I'm not going to say assimilation is just for black people, because you get somebody like, hey, you can slam the phone around if you want to. It don't bother me. I talk loud. Even the point with a guy like Joe like the lady said, Miss Lady said that she was in school with a guy, whatever, and this guy decided to cut all his facial hair off and ponytail, blah, 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 blah. It's not just for us. So if there's a system that's out there that says, hey, this is how everyone is going to look, that means that there's a conspiracy against all people. So I just
want to narrow it. Look at the music world. We had rock and roll and all that. So what did Elvis do? Uh-oh. Elvis started acting like black to sell fucking music, right? Doing black dances and shit like that. Look at that.
Rebuttal, Joe?
I know that they wanted a white guy to sound black. Elvis, I don't know, wanted to conform to be black, but I never thought he acted like he was a black guy.
No, he stole all the black music, man. He stole Little Richard.
Well,
he stole a lot of Chuck
Berry. He stole Muddy Waters. Yeah, he covered them. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Joe, thank you.
That's true. No doubt. That's true.
Okay. Anybody else want to jump on that? Oh, hold on. Let me bring Michael back in.
I'm just going to be brief. Assimilation is the key to any conspiracy, because once you get a person to think like you, you pretty much got them where you want them. That's the whole bag.
Right.
That's the whole bag of a conspiracy. Get them to think like you, and you have the least resistance. And so
Hold on. Chris Brown dances like Michael Jackson. Is that a conspiracy? Elvis took Chuck Berry.
Okay. Go ahead, Dry Bones. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You're trying to find, I don't know who that was saying, but that right there is not a valid informational analogy of what we're talking about. We're saying is these people made huge amounts of money off of blacks who did not. Chris Brown is making money because he does emulate Michael Jackson, but we got a whole history of people who were just given a Cadillac. Here's a guy who's Jewish. He just made $5 million, and he just gave a guy a Cadillac. That is called true exploitation, and it was conspired by the music company, which is the most devious company today. You see how many people go broke in the music industry? This ain't by design.
Yeah.
And they thought this up. We're gonna put this person, we're gonna give them that. So the conspiracy is always gonna be in play. I think conspiracy is reality. I think those who don't think it's a conspiracy is out of reality. That's my point.
Well, speaking of the movie stuff, remember when they came out with Birth of a Nation? That was the Rise of the Klan, and also when you had Al Jolson running around in blackface.
Right.
Which
well, I just want to respond for a minute. I think we're getting off a track. Hold up.
That's conspiracy and crack, bro.
Are you going to bring us
right,
back?
No. There's a difference.
Yeah,
there's a
right.
difference.
No, no,
right.
no.
Listen, there's a difference when someone takes and emulates somebody. Listen, black people stiff black people all the time. I come from the hood. I've known many cases where black
Damn,
people stiff black
on.
People all the time. Hold up. Let me finish. L.A. and Babyface, TLC, they have two black
yeah.
people. They one got stiff. So when you're talking about stiffing, it don't got no color and nothing. When someone copies somebody
stuff
or something, it's not a conspiracy.
Where did they learn
no
that?
Secret.
Where did they
Listen,
learn
the
that?
The reason
at?
Why Elvis made
Good
more
question.
Money off of
Good
black
question.
Because this Where country, you know, hold on, listen, this country was 80%, this country is 80% white, and when he copied black people, of course he's going to make a lot because more white people like him. But look, there's no conspiracy when Elvis stole somebody's music. See, y'all taking it to the outreach. And the reason why Elvis made more money than the black, because there's more white people that like Elvis, more people that's spending money. 80% of this country back when Elvis was alive was white. So they're going to support the man. There's no conspiracy.
I hope you talk about me on your show tonight because you foolish.
I will talk about you. I will. No, I'm not. No, you saying it was a conspiracy. That
let me tell you something,
not.
Man.
It wasn't
let
no secret.
You, I never said
it was wild
about
Elvis.
I'm confused.
But
I'll
show you this. If you have a horse and you tie that horse up and that horse see that rope tied to something, eventually if you bring him up and you untie that rope, he'll just stand there right there. Even if you don't tie it, he'll just stand right there.
That's called conditioning, man. That's conditioning.
See,
people have been conditioned to foolishness.
Yeah,
oh, fuck,
yeah,
I'm telling you what I know because my daddy got horses.
Now, I'm letting you know we're defining what a conspiracy is, and someone said it's a conspiracy when Elvis took some music. It's not. It was a no secret. How is it a conspiracy?
How
can
how,
it
how,
so
how,
Elvis
how wasn't there a secret?
Somebody
how was there not a secret? Oh, he's just the
know.
Next best greatest thing. That's what they pushed him off as.
Because
no, he
white
wasn't
people love them. It's not a conspiracy that white people love Elvis. It's not a conspiracy that black
Michael,
people love
Michael, stop being
Elvis.
A dummy and stop trying to go against the grain. He wasn't the
no,
next
no,
best greatest
fact.
Thing.
You want
he was an idea.
Let's educate and entertain each other.
He was an
fact.
Idea. He was
hey,
an
hey,
idea.
You
all
heard,
right.
Hey, y'all ever heard of the fact when
images.
Y'all ever heard of the fact
of images.
Hold on. Y'all ever heard of the fact that black people used to ride in the back of the bus? Okay, and now all of a sudden, some black people, they conditioned to walk to the back of the bus. And also, you got black people used to have to go to the back of the restaurant, the back door to eat. And so you got some people that want to go to the back door and ride to the back of the bus. They still condition that.
Have you ever
That's
heard of social engineering? Do y'all believe in social
Absolutely.
Engineering?
Wait a minute. Today?
Absolutely.
Wait a minute. I want some clarification on this. You're talking about black
wait.
People today. Oh. You are conditioned to go to the back of the bus today.
I don't see how you. That's not hard to believe. I mean, you have to tell yourself, if you do something for 500 years consecutively, and each generation is doing the same thing over and over, that's like you reading the Bible. If I told the Bible
yep.
was made up,
Uh-oh.
You still reading
Uh-oh.
It.
So in the last 50 years since the Civil Rights Movement, and since Rosa Parks.
Who has it benefited? Is the
and
question.
Wait a minute. Wow, I want to get clarification on this. You're still telling me that
let me
some area
you,
in the United States, there are black people who are conditioned to go to the back of the bus. That's what I'm hearing.
Mentally.
In slavery, Joe.
He's
literally in slavery in this nation. Literally.
That's
you
what I'm hearing, literally.
You can go to middle Florida. You can go to middle Florida, which I'm in the middle Florida got a town called Cohokie. And these people almost like in the 60s, and they think it because they say
they,
surrounded
yep,
by
dry bones. Are they young people?
A lot of country, a clan looking white folks, and you should see how they act.
Okay,
we,
but are they young
people or
old people
like that, man?
They
dry
got
bones. Are they old people
they're
from the 60s or are they young people?
They're both. They're both. They're young and because
the
because
both?
When
That's
we come there,
me.
They say, "Oh, y'all ain't from here." First thing they say is, "Y'all ain't from here," because they know. They automatically know
mm-hmm.
because they've been conditioned to that type of society
because they have experienced more. Those of us in the city do not hold on to that as much as we used to, because we got such a vast variety of people in the city now that we don't have to keep that fear. But if we was in the country, I would like to see how you would act.
Well, on another note, hold on.
Let me bring Ebony in. She's been waiting patiently. Hold on.
Hey, baby. Hey, baby.
Hello.
Okay. Greetings, Ebony.
Hi. How is everyone?
Uh-oh. How you doing, baby? How you doing, baby?
How you doing, baby?
who is that?
Talking to your wife.
Speaks like that to a queen.
I'm about to do what Mae said to do. I'm about to lose my composure.
Really? Really? You need to hold it down slow. Come on. I know you're... You need to hold it down. Hold it down. You don't address a queen like that, okay? You're not speaking to the wifey now.
Hey, mama.
Easily. Wow.
Ooh. Oh, God.
So how you doing, baby?
Watch your mouth, white boy.
I am not your baby, okay?
Yeah, like I said, watch your mouth, white boy.
All right.
You need to fix up, okay? Fix it up. Sort it out.
Wow.
Okay. I just wanted to say that actually on the point of someone talking about, you know, people sitting at the back of the bus and... just to say that I don't know if this really is a reality or a conspiracy or what it is, but all I know is in the kind of last sort of 10 years or more of doing motivational speaking and working with young people in groups, one thing that I notice is that our black young people always go to the back of a class. When you're doing classes, the first thing they do is run to the back of a class. And they, you know, and my thing is always the first conversation I have is like, what is that about the back? What is it that you like about the back of the room? Because, you know, people who want to be noticed and people who are confident in who they are, they're at the front. They get into the front seat and they want to be shown.
That's right.
They want to see, you know, they want people to see who they are, and they're not afraid to show up as great. So we do have an issue. I don't know if it's to do with slavery or where it comes from, but there definitely is an issue we have with not wanting to be seen or, you know, being afraid to be too great and, you know, stepping into the limelight and allowing other people to be at the back. So, you know, I don't know. It's just something I've experienced. And whenever I go into a room and I'm in any meeting, it doesn't matter what's going on, I go straight to the front. I don't care who's in the room.
That's
I will go
beautiful.
To the front.
That's beautiful. I like that, too. So smart. So
smart.
Absolutely. That's on point. I love that. I'm
keep taking the drugs, all right?
Real talk. I love that. Darling, real talk. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
That's just my little take on life. But I think if you have young people, one of the things, and most of you are like, you know, you've got kids, you've got grandkids, you know, great grandkids.
I'm on my way to get them.
I think that's the thing that you need to instill in them, that actually, you know, they are great. They are great people. It doesn't matter, you know, that they happen to be born the color that they are, whatever they found themselves to be proud of it. You know, step up, show up, you know, and don't be afraid to represent. You know, that's one of the things I like to say to my kids when they leave the house, go represent, you know, your greatness, because you are great, okay?
That's beautiful,
and
Ellie.
When you put that into your kids, they'll always be great. They'll always be at the front.
But do you agree, Ebony, that there's been a conspiracy to make certain people feel inferior? Because there was a philosophy that was put forth that other people were superior.
Well, we see that through history. I mean, if you come to the UK, a lot of the African history, especially Egyptian history, is locked up in the British Museum. That's where it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's stuff that they stole from us many, many thousands of years ago or more. They're still stealing stuff up to today. A lot of the the diamonds and the stuff came out of African countries. Mm-hmm. Those are our jewels, and you know, and a lot of our history and our culture is locked up in European institutions. And so, what does that tell me? That probably tells me that there is a conspiracy to make us believe we're not as great as we are.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't need to. Mm-hmm. I don't need to go mm-hmm. and check everything that's there and see everything for myself to believe that I'm great. I know I'm a great person, and I just have that philosophy anyway for life.
It's in our DNA, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's in our DNA, and I think we just got to claim what we are. I think sometimes we dumb down, right, or we act out the stereotypes that people have for us. You know,
mm-hmm.
They say we're these kinds of people, and we act it out, and we, you know, every time we show up the way they want us to show up. I think sometimes we just got to be a little bit different and be prepared to, you know, to stand up for what we are and have some integrity about our lives so that people respect us. I think that's where mm-hmm. it's at. You know, people always try
yep.
and change the face of the world to suit themselves, and people who are powerful will get their way, you know, because maybe they own some of the money or whatever. But you know what? Hey, it's all relative. When you die, you can't take anything with you but yourself and your name.
Hey,
great point.
Can I ask you one question? Evan,
yeah.
Is that story true about the grid going out in London? Is that a true story or is that made up?
They said
in London, you guys, your grid went out in the underground rail, your underground subway went dead. Is that true or that's made up? Antoinette told me the grid.
The underground did happen some years ago that the underground shut down for a little while, but it has happened several times that our underground's not working. So I don't know if that's what that's linked to or people believe it to be, but I just think it's bad lines and management of those lines. But, you know, things have happened. We had a massive fire in King's Cross, one of our very prominent underground stations, some years ago. And I know that, you know, a lot of people were caught up in that. But I was almost there. The interesting thing is, you know, I believe you're where you are because maybe it's not your destiny to be somewhere else. You know, it's like either it's your time or it's not your time. That's how I see it. That's just my take on the world. But sometimes people get caught up in stuff because, you know, it's your time to go. But I just remember the King's Cross fire, which was, you know, you can look up the King's Cross fire online, but it was a massive fire here in the UK. And the day that it happened, I was meant to meet up four of my friends in London, and we were going to be in King's Cross. We were going to pass
through King's
Cross.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Ebony, just recently, I think it's some paper from London, or I don't remember the exact name of it, UK Mail, it was, that put an article out that the grid went down, I believe 2 days ago, and they were giving the impression that the, you know, London was dark.
Oh, that's rubbish.
Okay,
yeah,
that's
rubbish.
What, trying to ask.
There was no slowdown. It was not dark. There was no. No, that's not true at all. No.
We were trying to call you, honey. We were trying to get phone calls to you. You and Vicky trying to see, what's going on over there.
We were absolutely fine. We were sleeping. I mean, we were sleeping, and at the time that anybody was trying to call us anyway. So I don't know what. And the lines do not run at 2 in the morning. They actually run up until about 12. 1 o'clock is the time everything stops anyway. So I don't know where anybody got that anything would be running at 2 or more in the morning. So some of these stories.
Article out, and we had N2K calling you and Vicky, honey, forthwith to find out if y'all were okay.
No, we were fine. We were sleeping, fast asleep.
That's good.
That.
But I'll tell you about the King's Cross fire because this was a really interesting story. There were four of us that were meant to meet up on that night, and I used to go to college, to a college very near to King's Cross. So we left college that day with the plan, it was Polytechnic at the time, to meet up later on that night. And we all went home, and none of us turned up. And it was the night of the King's Cross fire. And none of us called each other, and nobody knows why we didn't turn up. We didn't have a reason. We just all didn't show up on that night. So, you know, the next day, when I heard about the King's Cross fire, I was ringing all my friends saying, did you go, did you go? And they were like, I thought you went. And we were like, I thought you went. Nobody went, and nobody called each other to cancel. So sometimes I believe, you know what,
wow,
you're not meant to be there, you're not meant to be there.
Hmm.
You
like
still have
show.
Something to do.
Here,
that's why you're
on.
Here.
Hmm. How come your show was
sorry?
On?
Oh,
I just said that's incredible. The story you just told.
Wow, I wish I had 10 minutes to talk, and everybody asked me if I'm gonna have a show. Wow, I gotta be like her.